This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the March 1st edition of Invest Talk. And of course, I like to think of it as above average investing for the average investor. That's what we teach here. That's what I like to teach. I encourage your involvement. Of course, we always welcome your questions, and your opinions are welcome as well. So if you have an opinion about something, don't be afraid to share it. And I'd love to hear about your the shape of your portfolio. What are you doing? What's your mix of stocks, funds, bonds? What's your goal? Any of those things would be very interesting. I want to hear what you're doing, your success, and of course, your failures. Always, you know, you ever notice you learn a lot more from your failures than you do from your successes? And have you also noticed that you remember your failures much better than your successes? You do. And that's one of the problems with human nature. Because when you remember your failures more, or they're more present in your mind, they drive fear. They drive fear into you. And when it comes to investing, you're afraid. Now, you're not going to, it's not the kind of fear that you're sitting around quivering, shaking, and sweating in the corner of a room somewhere. It's not that kind of fear I'm talking about. I'm talking about the kind of fear that makes you kind of move or point yourself in a different direction than just looking at the facts and going with the facts, or prevent you from making decisions. That kind of fear is what I'm talking about. So that's the kind of fear you have to combat when you're investing. So let's get to work. Go ahead and start answering some questions on our listen line, our 24-hour listen line. The number is always the same, whether it's live like we are now or not, 888-99-CHART. Here's a question that came in before today's program.
Good evening, Steve and Justin. This is Chelsea out of Tennessee. I was just giving you guys a call. I was wondering what you guys thought the steel tariff that Trump has put into place will do on companies like U.S. Steel, and even it was Alcoa. Just wanted to get your opinion on that and see what you would think about investing in those companies right now. Thanks.
Okay, if you think about it, President Trump announced they're going to put some tariffs up, 25% on aluminum. No, 25% on steel and 10% on aluminum. I think that's what it was. Because of dumping in our country. And there's been no doubt of all the huge amount of evidence against China dumping aluminum. It is really clear that that's been happening. Dumping, by the way, means that they overproduce the product and they sell it below their cost to get it off their hands and sell it into, and that's what dumping is. Some country dumping products in another country that they have a surplus of. And that happens when you have a government who doesn't care if your companies make money. In other words, there's not a free economic system there. So, you know, you can, in China, it is quite often that the private sector is backed by the government, and they want you to keep the employees and keep producing when, you know, typical free economic system would have them cutting their employees or shutting down factories or whatever, and to be profitable. They don't have to worry about the profit margin a lot. Anyways, what's going to happen to our steel companies? And it should, in the long run, help them, because they're not going to compete, right? I mean, I don't want to say they're not going to compete. The competition that used to be to them unfair is now going to be more fair, so that they can charge prices that will keep them in profits and they don't go out of business. Our own steel companies, aluminum companies. So what's it going to do for companies like Alcoa and U.S. Steel? Well, it should be supportive of them in the long run. But try to remember, we also export aluminum and export steel. So it's not going to be just one-sided. Fundamentally, what it's going to do is it's going to increase inflation. Now, I don't know how much, but it is inflationary. Prices go up. Prices are going to go up, aluminum and steel. That's inflationary. And look how many things are made out of aluminum and steel. Lots of things. So it's inflationary. We won't notice it overnight. Not going to happen immediately, but it is inflationary. So welcome to the March 1st edition, everybody. It's interesting that we're done with February. February is behind us only 28 days. And I looked today, and the market was down about 5% in February. 5%. And we're starting off March on a pretty, on the wrong foot, right? The Dow was down 381 points today. Was it 300? No, that was yesterday. I'm sorry, it's 400. Where's my other notes? There it is, 420 points today. 420. Down 381. But yesterday was February. Today is March, down 420 on the Dow. We'll get more details on that in a second. Just as Trump talks seemed to rally the market over the past year, a different kind of talk dropped it today with that tariff, the T word, right? Now, tax reduction stimulated stocks, right? Another T word. But tariffs, they dragged down the stock market. Not too happy about that. And why? Because, as I said, it's prices go up, it's inflationary. And remember, we're already worried about meaning the investors, have already started to worry about inflation. And it's one of the reasons why the market has been so volatile is why would they worry? Because, of course, who else worries about inflation? The Fed. And what do? They raise interest rates, right? So if the Trump administration is going to do tariffs, and they say they are, they're going to announce next week what they are, and they could be specific countries. It doesn't have to be across the board. Again, that was 25% on steel and 10% on aluminum. There, Steve Goldstein writes, imposition of these tariffs would, of course, lead to retaliation, probably against agriculture and automobiles. Okay, so that's bad news for General Motors that relies on both steel as an import and China as a market, right? So if there is retaliation, that's more inflationary, is it not? And it could put a stop to the, or not necessarily a stop, but certainly put some dents in the world trade going on, which is not good for business for anybody. Not good for even the consumers out there, because things are going to cost more. Interesting times we're in. Here are some of the other topics we plan on talking about with everybody today. How the falling dollar affects your portfolio. So that's going to be one of our main talking points. And there's, of course, I didn't get to a couple of talking points that I want to get to yesterday, but we'll get to them. How about government debt? No one's really talking about that. As I said, I think that's going to be a big issue. How about the prediction that there's a hedge fund guy out there, very well known, Paul Jones. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Paul Jones. And he's very well known. He is predicting a spike in the 10-year treasury. Why is that, and what's that going to do? And did you hear about another big smart guy that didn't turn out to be so smart? He's a hedge fund manager, Bill Ackerman. Remember him? And remember his short on Herbalife? And if you don't know what short is, I will talk about that. He had $1 billion short on that stock. It was in the news for a long time. This started five years ago. He's had this short. We'll talk about that, too. Those are the things I'm going to discuss. I got a couple other things. The hardest working city in America. Do you know what that is? It's just some interesting things that I can share with you. This is Invest Talk. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. If you're just starting out as an investor, the first thing you want to do is to get clear what you want to achieve with your investing. Everybody wants to make money. We all know that. But you have to set out goals. What does that mean, make money? Whether it's short-term or long-term, you got to set goals. Now, are you looking for a regular income, growth, and how much? How much money do you need? We can talk about that if you like. 888-99-CHARGE, how to get through right now.
You have questions about managing risk? You can talk to Steve right now at 888-99-CHART.
Hey, this is Mark. I'm a podcast listener in Georgia. And in yesterday's show, you took a call about PC&G, and you said there was a 5.2% dividend. But if I'm not mistaken, that dividend has been suspended. And I was wondering, A, is that true? And B, does the suspension of the dividend change your outlook for the stock? Thank you.
Yes, I believe it is true. They did suspend it, but I don't think they're going to keep it suspended very long. And no, I still think there's a place you want to buy. Have you noticed that today the market was down 400 points, but this was up today? It was only up less than 0.5%. I mean, but it was up, and it was up much bigger than that beginning of the day. So the chart is telling me that there's buyers coming into this, and I think they're going to continue. And the chart is telling me it's not going to be as I like it, PC&G. I like it. And this is gauging the generation of and distribution of electricity in Southern California here. And California here. Remember, this is the company that's being blamed for those fires. People are all worried about it, but I'm thinking they have lots of insurance for these kinds of things. And who's to say that they're responsible for all this? And, yeah, there'll be millions of dollars paid out. There's always is. But it's a utility. It's not going anywhere. So I like it. I like it at the price, too. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. How currencies help or hurt your investments? I mean, we talked about currencies before and what's going on with the currencies. And, maybe we need to kind of understand how they work. Currencies are like a commodity. They trade every day. Currency. You can buy dollars or wands or, euros. You can buy Chinese Hong Kong dollars. You can buy almost any kind of currency. You can buy them every day. They trade every day, just like any other kind of commodity. Now, so what determines the value? Simple supply and demand, everybody. Generally, factually, it comes down to supply and demand. And, of course, countries with lower inflation, a higher interest rate, attractive businesses to invest in, a stable, growing economy, those currencies of those kind of countries are going to be stronger than those that don't have that kind of environment. The U.S. dollar is generally considered a strong currency because we keep control of inflation pretty well. We're pretty stable. Now, you compare that with a company like, Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe has a $100 trillion bill. Did you know that? That's because they have no control over their economy. There's no one really wants their money. And they trade a lot. I mean, they do business a lot in that country and other currencies because their currency is so bad. So currencies, go up and down based on other currencies, and it's just purely supply and demand, but with something backing them, always backing them, and that's the full faith of the United States government, the full faith of the European Union, or the full faith of the Japanese government and economy. So that's what really drives, supply and demand drives it, but it's based on the security that their currency represents, and that is the country that issued it. I hope that it's not a simple concept, really. It's a lot simpler than cryptocurrency as far as, how's that value? How do you value that? Supply and demand. But there's nothing backing it. There's no economy or government backing it. It's just what people think. Now, I know we talk a lot about it, but picking and choosing individual companies to invest in is not how most people get started in the market. And they shouldn't. Now, do you want to talk about index funds or sector funds or funds of funds? Do you know what there's such a thing? Funds of funds? Every one of you probably have a choice in your 401k of funds of funds. Any money questions, welcome. 888-99-CHART.
InvestTalk continues on a service of KPP Financial. If you're tired of looking over your shoulder, feeling more vulnerable to loss through market volatility, why not take a look at the range of investment programs from KPP Financial? Independent thinking, shared success. This is Invest Talk, your source for money answers. Check in now, 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. We're going to go talk to Daniel in Orlando. How you doing, Daniel?
Hey, I'm doing good, Steve. I just have a question on Allergan. I had bought an in around $174 and obviously slipped down to, I think, one in the 140s today. Just curious to see your thoughts on it, if you think I should hold on to it, dollar cost average, or whatever you have for insight.
Well, it's a very good company, Ireland-based developer of branded drugs for multiple categories, including the central nervous system and eye care. They're going to make $15.59 a share this year, but they made $16 last year, so it's a little bit down. But next year, they're going to go up to $16.57. So, and the growth rate is still pretty decent, and it's kind of been accelerating a couple percentage points in the last few quarters. I know it's under pressure, and I know there was some, what was the news about Allergan? Something.
I think Mylan had come out with that they're going to be doing a Botox similar drug that's coming out with Botox.
That's right.
The competitor.
That's right. Yeah, Mylan Pharmaceuticals, yeah. And I don't think you should be, Daniel, I don't think you should be afraid of the competitor. I don't. Now, this would be, you know, it's a $48 billion company. If it was me and it was a stock that I like, the sales are growing, I'm tending that you want to buy more. If it's not too big of a portion of your portfolio, you know, still within reason, I would be tend to buy more and not sell at this price because it's a 9 PE. That's a low of its range is 9 to 38. It's 9. And they're going to make 16.57. It's going to be 8 next year if it doesn't move. Mm-hmm. I just don't see it staying there. It's too cheap, Daniel. Now, to buy more, you might want to wait to see if this current little weakness we have in the market, let it work itself out before you buy some more, okay? So don't be in a big rush, but I would tend to want to buy more of this stock, not sell it.
Okay. I appreciate it, Steve. Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you, Daniel. Appreciate the call. You know, when stocks go on sale, when you own a stock and it goes down on you 30-40%, the reasons you bought the stock, you have to revisit them, revisit those reasons. And if the reasons are still sound and still in place, then there's no reason to sell just because the stock goes down. Because people's perception of a company changes, and they could be wrong, they could be right. But if the fundamentals are there, the fundamentals are strong, and the stock is cheap, there's the reason you buy companies. And I like to buy companies on sale. This company's on sale. Yes, the stock price has been falling. It was, what, 250 points in July of last year. But during that whole fall, from there to now, during the whole fall, they're still making money. They're making great money. It's a $48 billion, $49 billion company. PE is at its lowest. Just hard for me to say, oh, go ahead and get out. That's a bad company. No, I had to be patient, but I think it'll turn around on you. 888-99-CHART. Government debt, long-term debt, is going to have some massive implications for our economy and the stocks. Don't think it doesn't. More debt from this recent budget. It's going to just send the 10-year rate skyrocketing. And there's a hedge fund, Paul Jones out there, who is a very smart guy. He feels that it's going to be this year. It's going to go, the 10-year is going to go from 3.75% yield from 2.86% yield to 3.75% yield by the end of the year. Now, those numbers don't sound like, whoa, that's not that big of a deal. That's huge. As a percentage move, that's big. That's a big percentage move. What happens when interest rates for bonds go up and the value of the bonds collapse, because that's what would happen if this interest rate went from 2.8 to 3.7. Bonds, remember, we've said on this show, Justin has said it a million times, I'm sure, I've said it, bonds lead the stock market. Bonds generally lead the stock market. If bonds are weak and they get weaker and weaker and weaker, generally the stock market will fall. But that lag time, it could be a month, it could be 6 months, it could be a year, but usually not more than a year. So you have to pay attention to bond yields if you're going to invest in the stock market. Now today, the market was down 420 points, the Dow. The NASDAQ was down 92, and the S&P down 36. And interest rates, 10-year yields, gone up. Remember, why did the market fall hard? Because it didn't like the tariffs. Why would that bother them so much? Because these tariffs may cause inflation. If they cause inflation, the Fed's going to raise rates. It's already true. We have already kind of told us that the Fed's going to raise rates 3 times. But Powell, the new Fed chairman, told us yesterday, or was it the day before? I don't remember. That, we're on course for 3%, but he did not calm everybody down about maybe doing it, raising the rates 4 times instead of 3 times this year. Ooh. And would more inflation maybe convince him to do that? You're listening to Invest Talk, everybody. We're live 4 to 5 Pacific Time, 888-99-CHART.
Our podcast continues next. First, good reason number 5 for a portfolio checkup with Steve. Steve says that many portfolios he looks at are weighted in just one or two sectors. A diverse mix of market sectors is so important to the health of a retirement portfolio. Steve can help you reorganize your retirement portfolio. He can make suggestions about the sectors of the future. And if you'd like, a KPP financial program that fits your goals and your life situation. There's never a cost for InvestTalk listeners and no sales pitch or obligation of any kind ever. To schedule your one-on-one conversation with Steve, just go to investtalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab and then Portfolio Review, or you can call 888-99-CHART and follow the prompts. And now let's continue with the podcast. This is InvestTalk. When to sell a stock losing value? Think about why you chose the stock in the first place and what's changed since. Do you need to know more about that? Just ask Steve. The anytime number is 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. We're going to talk to Jeff in Philadelphia. How you doing, Jeff?
Steve, how you doing?
New listener. Thank you.
To the show.
Great,
been listening
thank you.
Pretty much every day nowadays, and I'm just new to investing, and my question is about GEO Corp. Ticker GEO. Wondering if it's a good time to buy. Interested in trying to, diversify my portfolio, and I'm recently bought a few stocks you talked about, like GE and Starbucks. And wondering if this is a good time to get into sort of a whole different area.
Okay, well, GEO Corp, GEO Group Inc. is a REIT, everybody, Real Estate Investment Trust. And Jeff, do you know what a Real Estate Investment Trust is?
I do.
Okay. So, everybody, it's a Real Estate Investment Trust. So, it's got to pay its earnings, 90% of them, out in the form of a dividend. So, you buy this, Jeff, because you're interested in the dividends. Of course you want capital appreciation, you want the stock to go up. Of course we all want that, right? But that's not the thrust of owning this REIT. A REIT you own because it pays a good sized dividend. And if that's what you're looking for to help balance your portfolio, then this is a good place to start. Now this REIT owns and leases and manages correctional detention and reentry facilities and community-based youth services. So it's a private company. And I don't want to be political, but generally a Republican president in Congress would be more favorable to these kinds of businesses than a Democratic would be, okay? Because Democrats like to have those correctional facilities be government correctional facilities and not for private, for-profit private corporations. So you have to have that in the back of your head. That's just something in your mind, Jeff, that these kinds of things, these kind of companies do better when, you know, there's a lot of Republicans in charge of a lot of states, because that's at the level and at the federal level. So having said that, go ahead, Jeff, you have a question?
I just wanted to say, well, that was one of my motivations, because supposedly there's a deal in the works with laws that are being passed at the end of the month that could lock a huge deal with them as far as housing, illegal immigrants, border regulations coming into play. They're supposed to
with the criminal immigrants that they're trying. Yeah, yeah. So that's a good reason. That's a good reason to say, maybe I'm interested in this kind of stock. This particular one, their growth rate is pretty much flat as opposed to being up for the last couple of years. But that's why the stock has already gone down. Everybody already anticipated that. And it looks like it hit a bottom right around $19 or so, and now it's at $21.86. Yeah. And it was up 2.6% today on a really big down day. Jeff, that's a good sign. So,
that's
still very inexpensive. It's inexpensive. It's going to make $2.09 at $21 stock, so it's 11 PE. That's not too bad. It's low range is 5 to 17, so it's not really cheap for this company. But I kind of like where it is. I do. This would be a buy point for me. Jeff, thanks for the call, and thanks for listening. Appreciate it. Take care. Jack and Hayward, how you doing, Jack?
Hey, good, Steve. Thank you for taking the call.
Thank you.
I want to ask you about Lowe's.
If you have your radio on, if you would turn that down. Okay, now what did you want to talk to me about? What stock?
I wanted to ask about Lowe's.
Lowe's?
I bought it after earnings. And it's still going down. So, want your opinion if I should, sell it now or hold on to it?
Okay, let's take a look at it. Let's take a look at Lowe's. Lowe's, everybody, operates 2,129 Lowe's and Orchard Home Improvement Supply stores in U.S., Canada, Mexico. It's a $73 billion company. So, it's huge, okay? It's a really big company. So, that was bad. I don't want that. There you go. Let's see. Hold on. Just bear with me a second. Looking at the chart. Yeah, it fell sharply yesterday, probably on earnings. Something happened with the earnings, probably. They're going to make $5.75 this year. That's 30% more than last year. And then another 11% next year to $6.38. And it's an $87 stock. So the only problem with Lowe's, is it was expensive. The PE now, after all the falling from $107, $108 down to $87, the PE is still 20. For a company that's growing, 3 to 5%, that's pretty expensive. So that was the only problem with Lowe's. If it gets down to the low 80s, that would be a very good buy point. But if you already own it and you own it at higher prices, Jack, you're feeling a lot of pain right now. But I think, it's fundamentally very strong, and the economy and housing and is still very good. Employment still, this stock should bounce, but it's hard to know where it's going to bounce from. But I think it's pretty close to where it's going to bounce from. $83, $84 is, I think, very strong support, and it's at $88 now. So I wouldn't be surprised if it goes down there. But, Jack, it's very close to its support level. And if you're a long-term holder, you just don't worry about it. It will come back, okay? Appreciate the call, Jack. Thank you. That was Lowe's, L-O-W, everybody. L-O-W. And it's very, very important. Last year, during this show, stock after stock after stock, I would say it's too expensive. It's too expensive. Too expensive. Wait for a pullback. Wait for a pullback. Now we've got some pretty good pullbacks in certain stocks. So this Lowe's has fallen from $107, $108 or so down to $87. That's 20% pullback in this stock. It's starting to look pretty attractive. I think it still might have a little ways to go. But these are the pullbacks that I have been harping on that you want to buy, especially if we're still in a strong economy. This is going to be a stock picker's year, stock picker's market this year, because we're having a lot more volatility, a lot more volatility. So you need to prepare yourself just buying and it goes up higher and buying goes up higher like we did last year. That's not going to work this year. The same thing that worked last year, I think the indexers are going to have some pain this year. They had a great time last year, but this year is going to be more painful for them just because of the volatility. 888-99-CHART. Okay, did you hear about, today is my day to talk about hedge fund, Bill Ackerman, you remember him? He was the guy that 5 years ago, it was all over the news. He shorted Herbalife, saying it was a Ponzi scheme, how they sell, a pyramid scheme. And he spent $1 billion of his hedge fund money to short the stock, predicting it was going to collapse. $1 billion, starting 5 years ago. He's been in it all this time, except recently he got out. He got out of his short position. I noticed about a year ago he stopped talking about it, stopped writing about it, stopped being on the news all the time about it. So apparently he is unwinding it out of that deal. Remember, shorting means it's going down. Now, he shorted the stock at $47 a share. $47 a share. And what is it, $80 a share right now? I should pull it up and I can give you the exact. HLF is the symbol. HLF, hold on. So he shorted it at $47 a share. And remember, shorting means you want it to go down. You make money as it's going down. Today it's $91.78. So he lost more than 50% or so of, well, about 50% of the $1 billion he put into it. Billion. So he lost $500 million on this bet. This goes to show you, this is a very smart man. This is a very smart guy. He's not stupid. He's been around a long time. He's made a ton of money. And it just shows you that he may be totally right. Could be pyramid scheme. Remember, it's those multi-level marketing, and those are suspect. But for 5 years, this stock went up. It's very difficult what we do for a living here, people. It's not simple. I mean, it just is what it is. You cannot be right all the time. You're just not going to be. You managing your own money, you're not going to be right all the time. You're just not. It doesn't work that way. If you're making decisions, you're going to be wrong. Just don't be fearful of being wrong. Learn from your mistakes and move on. I don't know. Mr. Ackerman can learn from his mistakes because he's been around a long time, but that was a mistake, big mistake. Are you at a time in your life when you take considerable amount of risk with your investments? Or of course, if you're young, you have years to take those risks, sure. You may be able to afford the risk you take because you got lots of years to make it up if it works against you. Now, if you're close to retirement or in retirement, of course, you have to be much more cautious. The whole question of risk tolerance is one you need to confront before you design an effective and appropriate plan for yourself with your investments. Now, if you like a third party, second opinion, free, then why not reserve an hour with me? We'll talk about it. I'm happy to provide individual retirement reviews in person or via the phone or any system like Skype if you want, whatever. To reserve your time, just go to investtalk.com.
If you enjoy Invest Talk, why not tell a friend and tell them about our 24-hour access line to the answers. Leave your question anytime and then listen to the answer on the next Invest Talk. You've got the ear of a registered investment advisor. The number is 888-99-CHART. And if you call weekdays between 4 and 5 p.m. Pacific, you can have a conversation. 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve. Hi, Justin. My name is Jason from Jacksonville. Calling about ticker symbol MSCI seems to have put in somewhat of a bottom, seems to kind of be trading sideways in this range, and was wondering if this is a good time to maybe pick up a few shares and if this is also a good play to kind of play the emerging markets. Thank you, and I'll take the answer on the show. Thanks.
I think you're too late to the game on this one. MSCI provides investment decision support tools to institutions investing in equity, fixed income, and other instruments. So it's a financial, in the financial services specialty area. They're going to make $5.36 this year and then $6.16 next year. So earnings are doing very well, sales are doing very well, and it's a $142 stock. So that's why the PE is very high. And so it has moved up from $95 a year ago or so to now $142. So I think you're too late to the game. I think this has to pull back much bigger before it'd be attractive because it's expensive. It pays a 1.1% dividend, so it's not very big. Management owns 2%. It is a $13 billion company. And sales are growing nicely because of the environment we're in, right? The environment we're in, remember, they're providing specialty support tools, financial support tools, tools for financial issues, equity, fixed income, instruments. MSCI is the symbol. So I just think you're late. I think it's a great company, but you have to wait. If you want to be a buyer of it, you have to wait till it hits the 100-day moving average because it did that three, four, five, six, seven times in the last year and bounced up. And that's at $136, and today it's $142. Remember, as I said earlier, that we're not going to have that constant move up. There's going to be much more volatility. You already can see the volatility this year in this stock. Spiked, fell down, right to the 100-day moving average, then spiked back up, and now it looks like it's trying to come back down. See, so you're seeing all kinds of volatility in this one stock. But for me, it's just too expensive. I'd wait for a pullback, and the dividend's not attractive enough to say, well, you know, I'll wait for a small pullback. No, I want a decent pullback. I want it to be to a normal PE down to, you know, at least around 15, 16. Well, that will drive it, you know, that will drive it down to 60, yep. About $80, $90 stock, and it's 142. See, I'm kind of demanding. It's probably not going to go down there. So I'm not interested, but great company. 888, give me a call. 888, sorry, my computers just went down, everybody. 888-99-CHART is the number, so you can give me a call. We're always open. Your money questions come first. You can check in now, same number, 888-99-CHART. And we just have a few minutes left. It's Thursday, you know. So let's include your voice in that last segment.
This is InvestTalk. When to sell a stock losing value? Think about why you chose the stock in the first place and what's changed since. Do you need to know more about that? Just ask Steve. The anytime number is 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve. Andrew Blankenship here, calling from Portland, Oregon. First off, I love the show. You guys do a great job. You're a wealth of knowledge, and you've definitely helped out my portfolio. The stock that I'm looking at that I've been in a while is Proofpoint, symbol PFPT. Been in it since about the mid to low 40s, held it for a couple years, and made some acquisitions over the last couple quarters, and they just hit a new 52-week high last week. Just wondering what your thoughts are to see if you think it's a good long-term play and keep holding it, or if I should take some profits off the table. Thank you so much.
Well, I have lots of family in Portland, Oregon, so appreciate the call from up that way. This is Proof Point. Symbol is PFPT, headquarters in Sunnyvale, California. Provides a suite of on-demand security as a service software enabling organizations to protect and archive their data. The company is a $5.4 billion company. It only does $145 million a quarter, but that growth rate of sales is the lowest it's been, is 35% in the last eight quarters. So that's, it's constantly 35-45% growth in sales. Earnings, they're growing just as fast, up 20% this year, and it's going to be up 56% next year to $1.56. And it's $107 stock, so it's not cheap. It is now a momentum stock, momentum on sales and earnings. It's on a roll. You have to understand that's what you're buying. It did have a pullback with the market, and it will probably have another pullback with the market. If and when it does, that's when you buy it. Or you could buy it here and just ride it because it was up today, up a nickel today. I mean, that's not a lot, but remember how bad the market was off today. The, you know, Dow down to 400 points. So that's pretty good strength, right? How long? If you've owned it and you made a fortune, and if you doubled your money, I would probably take a little off the table simply because it's right at a peak. And this market this year is going to be more choppy than it was last year. So PFPT, everybody. PFPT. Okay, the hardest working city in America. I have a list. Top 15, top 20 of them, but I won't go over all of them. And so whenever I see these kinds of lists, I say, oh, what do you mean? What do you mean by hardest working? I need to see how they determine that. You know, how are you deciding what is the hardest working? Well, they did look it up, and they use nine different metrics. Average work week, unemployment rate, share of workers leaving vacation time unused, share of engaged workers, idle youth, commute time, share of workers with multiple jobs, that kind of thing, okay? Now, when I read through the list, I noticed something. Pay attention to where this is. The first one is San Francisco. Second one is Fremont, California, up by San Francisco. Third one is Jersey City, New Jersey. Fourth one is Washington, D.C. Fifth one is New York, New York. Sixth is Oakland, California. Seventh is Boston. Eighth is Aurora, Colorado. Nine is Newark, New Jersey. 10 is Chicago. If you go down, if you look at, they're saying the hardest working, if you look at every one of these cities, because Fremont is in Silicon Valley, okay? San Francisco, Jersey City, right across the river from, Hudson River from New York City. Washington, D.C., all these, New York, New York, very expensive cities to live in, right? So, of course, you have to be, there have to be the hardest workers in there. You can't afford to live these places. You got to have two jobs. You can't afford to take vacation. You look at the reason why these places are, quote unquote, the hardest working cities. Well, because you have to, because of the cost to live there. The costs are so high in these places that, you know, there's no way that you can't, you know, be a hardest worker to afford that place. Anyway. Time to wrap it up, everybody. A reminder, my next San Jose day for individual meetings with our listeners is March 14th in San Jose, March 14th. If you'd like to reserve your hour with me, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab, and we'll set that up. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. I hope it's been worth your while for this hour. Justin Klein and I want to thank you for making our show part of your day. We appreciate it. And let's do it again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor, which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Steve Peasley is President and Justin Klein, Chief Executive Officer of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial. And they thank you for listening and welcome your comments or questions on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.